All right, we have been talking for the past couple of weeks now about the disciples that Jesus chose out of the multitude to become apostles. And you remember we saw how that in each of the listings that are given in the scriptures, Simon Peter is mentioned first, and so we began with him. And so we have seen four things so far about Simon Peter. We saw the circumstances of Peter, his prominence among the 12. We talked about his place, the places where he lived during his ministry and during his life. Talked about his people that are mentioned in the Bible, his father and his mother-in-law, his wife. Talked about his profession, that he was a successful fisherman, and his person. Talked about the names that he had and about the nature of the man. We also saw the conversion of Peter. The conversion of Peter, how he was brought to faith in Jesus Christ by his brother Andrew, who we'll be looking at in a couple of weeks. We then saw the challenges of Peter. You remember we saw the fishing challenge. And then last week, you remember, we saw the walking challenge, how that Peter was once again put in a situation where that his faith was tested as the Lord Jesus called him to walk on the water in the midst of a storm. And so there was the walking challenge. And then you remember we saw the comments of Peter. The comments of Peter. Things that Peter said that showed both wisdom and spiritual insight. And then we saw some things he said that, well, it had been better off if he just hadn't said them. Have you ever caught yourself doing that? You ever caught yourself, you say something, and you say, oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. And, well, yeah, we all do that. Peter seemed to have that spiritual gift. But he did it quite a bit. But yeah, there were times when he spoke. He spoke rashly, he spoke abruptly, he spoke sometimes, it almost appears, without even thinking. He's the kind of guy, you know, just popped in his head and came out of his mouth, never went through any kind of inspection, you know. And we all know people that way. But I want us to continue our overview of Peter. I want us to notice a fifth thing about Peter, and that is the collapse of Peter. The collapse of Peter. After walking with Jesus for some 3.5 years, on the night before the crucifixion, Peter faced probably the darkest hour of his life. It was an hour of great spiritual collapse, would be the best way to describe it. An hour of great spiritual collapse. I want us to notice several points together as we look at this. First of all, I want us to notice Peter's quarreling. His quarreling. The dark night in Peter's life began with the observance of the Passover in the upper room. Unfortunately, the observing of the Passover that night did not begin very well. It did not begin very well. The very first thing that should have occurred when the disciples and the Lord Jesus came into the upper room, the very first thing that should have occurred, there should have been a washing of feet. That was the custom. When people would come to a place and they would enter into a place, the very first thing to be done was there was to be the washing of feet. However, even though the basin of water was there and the tile was there, no one volunteered to do any washing. No one volunteered. Now, normally a servant tended this lowly task. In fact, the lowest of servants would be given the job of washing the feet of those who came in. But on this occasion, Jesus and his disciples were using a borrowed room, and so therefore no servant was supplied. No servant was supplied for them, and none of the disciples were feeling very, I don't know if this is a word or not, but I'm gonna invent one, okay? None of them were feeling very servantly. They didn't feel like being a servant. And so therefore, Jesus, all of his disciples, ate their Passover meal with dirty feet. Didn't start very well. Look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 4 and following, the Bible says then, He riseth from supper. Now it's talking about the Lord Jesus. So they've eaten their meal, and he rises from the supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wash them and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Now, Jesus was teaching a lesson here that they had not yet learned. John chapter 13 and verse number 7, you see that. But it was a lesson on humility. It was a lesson on servanthood. A lesson on the importance of humbling yourself and serving others. But then we find here that in the midst of all of this, we see three things. First, we see the arguing of Peter. The arguing of Peter. Peter said unto him in John chapter 13, verse 8, thou shalt never wash my feet. Now, can you imagine saying that to the Lord Jesus Christ? You will never wash my feet. That's what he said. Not only would he see the arguing of Peter, we see the rebuking of Peter. Notice it in verse 13. Jesus rebuked him for what he said. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. If I don't wash you, then we can't be together. Can't be together. You have no part with me. And then we see the exaggeration of Peter. Like I said, he was always one to just kind of, you know. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands, my head. Lord, just, you know, whole thing. Now the Bible does not tell us this, but I believe the Lord Jesus, when Peter said that, I believe the Lord just kind of went, oh, Peter. You know? Oh, Peter. My goodness. And the reason why is simply because he knew that such a proud attitude that would argue with deity. Such a proud attitude that would argue with deity would lead to a second thing, and that is Peter's boasting. Peter's boasting. Four times on that night, before the crucifixion, Peter declared his absolute loyalty to Jesus Christ. And he didn't just declare his loyalty, he declared it very proudly. Declared it very proudly. Notice the declarations that were made. There were two of them. First of all, in the upper room. Notice the declarations in the upper room in Luke chapter 22, verse number 33. He saith unto him, and this is Peter speaking now, he saith unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. That's what he said. I'm ready to go with you. If you're going to jail, I'm going to go right with you. And if you're going to be put to death, then let me die right beside you. I'm willing to do that. I'm ready to do that. John chapter 13, verse 37. We find the same boast again is made in the upper room. Peter saith unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. That was his boast. That was his brag. But not only do we find him boasting in the upper room, we also find him boasting in the garden. You remember after they left the upper room, they went to the garden of Gethsemane, and there in the garden, again, two times we hear Peter in his braggadocious kind of an attitude boasting about how faithful he's going to be. Now, I know some of you are smiling. You didn't know I knew a word that big as braggadocious, did you? Don't ask me to spell it, okay? But anyway, Mark chapter 14, verse 29. Listen to what he said. Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Don't you see that? Peter said, Lord, you know, these other 11 over here, I just have to be honest with you. They're hardly worth shooting. They're the most undependable people you've ever seen in all of your life. In fact, I don't even know why you made them. You know, they're so undependable, and they're going to be offended, and they're going to run away, and they're going to desert you, and you can't count on them. But Lord, I want you to know, I'm different. They'll be not me. Mark chapter 14, verse 31. He doesn't say it just once. Notice it in Mark 14, 31. He spake the more vehemently. In other words, he's getting really serious now. And he said, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. In other words, no matter what happens, no matter what circumstances may come, Lord, there's nothing that will ever come that is so bad that I'll deny you. You can count on me. That was Peter. By the way, let me just mention a little thought here. Those who talk the loudest, listen carefully. Those who talk the loudest about standing true to the Lord are normally, they are the very ones who are already sliding away. It's sort of like that, woman that was talking, I believe it was to Winston Churchill one time, and she made the comment that she was a proper lady, and he said to her, ma'am, if you're a lady, you won't need to tell people about it. If you're truly standing for the Lord, you won't have to tell people about it. It'll be obvious. You won't have to boast about it. It'll be clear. Those who usually talk the loudest and talk the longest about how they are standing for the Lord, generally speaking, they've already started down the trail. As one commentator said, when one is standing true and faithful, he does not need to continually remind others of his loyalty, because it will be more than evident in his performance. In other words, it's not how you talk, it's how you act that shows your loyalty to Jesus Christ. Anybody can talk a good game. How do you live? What are the priorities in your life? That's going to show the reality, you see. Here's a sad point. When a person is boasting about their faithfulness, the sad truth is usually the only person they'll convince is their own self. The only person they convince is their own self. And since Peter believed his own hype, Since Peter believed his own boasting, we find, letter C, Peter sleeping. His sleeping. When Jesus and his disciples came to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus spoke to Peter along with James and John. You remember those three were sort of the inner circle. Peter, James, and John, they were sort of the inner circle with the Lord. It was them who had been with him at the Mount of Transfiguration, you remember. These were the ones who had a very special relationship with the Lord. And now, as Jesus enters into the garden in that final hour, he calls Peter, James, and John to go with him. The other disciples are there, but he calls those three to go a little further into the garden. And then he speaks to them, and he said in Matthew 26, verse number 38, he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." But you know the story. Even though Peter had boasted that he would be faithful unto death, he could not even be faithful unto drowsiness. He went to sleep. He went to sleep. Observation here, if we cannot be faithful in the little things of life, if we can't be faithful in the little things of life, like coming to church, witnessing for the Lord, tithing, doing just the basic things of Christianity, you know? If we're not faithful in doing the little things, I guarantee you, we're not going to be faithful when the big trials come. We're not going to be faithful when the big difficulties come, when the dangerous and frightening temptations come into our life. If we're not faithful in the little things, we're not going to be faithful in those times. Not going to be faithful in those times. So we see Peter sleeping. We then see Peter reacting. Letter D. We see Peter reacting. The prophet Jeremiah gave a warning. You remember this back in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 5. Jeremiah said, Thus saith the Lord, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Now you need to remember that in the Hebrew language, instead of moving from cause to effect, that's the way we do in English. We go from cause, we start with the cause, and then we move and we progress logically to the effect. But in Hebrew, it's backwards. They don't go from cause to effect. They start with the effect and then they go back to the cause. That's the order that they give. And so with that in mind, notice the order that Jeremiah speaks of here. First of all, he shows that a man's heart departs from the Lord. You see that? A man's heart departs from the Lord. Why does his heart depart from the Lord? Because the man's heart relies on human power. Why does the man's heart rely on human power? Because the man's heart is focused on men. That's why. Instead of being focused on God, men are their focus. Some will trust in other men. Some will trust in their own selves. And that's exactly where we find Peter. That's exactly where we find Peter in his reacting. Because Peter was sleeping when he should have been praying, because he was sleeping when he should have been watching, when the time of danger came, Peter instinctively depended on himself. So will you. So will you. Because he was sleeping, he wasn't watching, he wasn't praying as he should, when the time of difficulty came, he immediately began to depend upon himself. And And so therefore, when the crowd came in, led by Judas Iscariot, and they came in to arrest the Lord, you remember the Bible says that John chapter 18 and verse number 10, that it was Simon Peter. Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Now, let me just tell you here, Peter was not aiming for his ear. Peter was a fisherman. He wasn't a swordsman. He was very courageous. He just was a bad shot. Okay? He was aiming to part that guy's hair permanently right down the middle. That's what he was aiming to do, but the guy didn't play fair. He kind of moved and lost his ear. But Jesus rebuked him. In John chapter 18, verse 11, Jesus said unto Peter, "Put up thy sword. Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Shall I not drink it?" You see, because Peter was trusting in his own power in the time of difficulty, because he hadn't been watching and praying, Peter was trusting in his own strength, he was trusting in his own power, in his own wisdom, and so therefore, because of that, Peter was rebuked. Because he was trying to get in the way of the will of God. He was trying to stop what God was trying to accomplish. Why? Because he hadn't been watching. And he hadn't been praying. And therefore he was out of touch with what God was seeking to do. He's reacting. Because Peter was trusting in his own power, he was trusting in his own strength. It's no wonder then we find a tragic statement concerning the next point, and that is Peter's following. His following. Matthew chapter 26, verse 58. Six words. But what tragic words they are. Listen to him. But Peter followed him afar off. Followed him afar off. Peter had boldly declared he was ready to die with Christ. But the fact is, when it came right down to it, Peter was not even willing to walk with Christ. And because he wasn't walking with the Lord as he should, because he was following far away from the Lord, we then see Peter's denying. His denying. When Peter was proudly boasting about how much he loved the Lord Jesus and how the Lord Jesus could totally depend on him, even though all others would fail, Peter said, I'll never fail you, Lord. And it was during that time, you remember, Jesus gave a terrible warning. In Matthew 26, verse 44, Jesus said to Peter, "Verily, I say unto you, this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Three times, Peter, you're going to deny me. "Oh, no, Lord, not me. No, these other guys, yeah, they will, but Lord, not me. No, I'm ready to die for you. I'll die for you, Lord. You know me, Lord." The Lord said, "Yeah, Peter, I know you. Three, you're going to deny me, you know. You're going to deny me." And just as Jesus has said, Peter denied the Lord Jesus three times. And in those three denials, we find Peter spoke. Notice what he spoke. First of all, number one, he spoke dishonest words. When Peter was confronted, he was there by the fire warming himself, you remember, and people began to come in and said, "Hey, You're from Galilee. I recognize the way you talk. You talk like a Galilean. You're from Galilee. You're with that Jesus guy, right?" And then others came and said, "Oh yeah, I saw you. You were the dude with the sword. I saw you in the garden." And Peter, when he was confronted, he began to lie. He denied being with Christ. Matthew chapter 26, verse 69 to 70. John 18, verse 26 and verse 27. He denied being a disciple of Christ. John chapter 18, verse 17 and verse 25. He denied even knowing Jesus Christ. "I don't even know who you're talking about." Matthew chapter 26, verse 72 and verse 74. And he denied even understanding the accusation. They said, "You were with Christ." He said, "I don't even understand what you're talking about. What are you talking about? You talking to me?" Dishonest words. Dishonest words. Not only did he speak dishonest words, he also spoke slighting words. Slighting words. In his great confessions that we saw last time, remember those great confessions? Peter said, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of God." Oh, what great confessions those were. But now, Mark chapter 14, verse 71, Peter said, "I don't even know who this man is of whom you speak." Now the Son of God and this Christ, now it's just this man. I don't even know who this is. Who is this man? Slighting words. We see profane words. Profane words. Listen to this. Matthew 26, verse number 74. Then began he, talking about Peter. He's on the spot now. People are saying, "Hey, I recognize you. You were one of Jesus. You were one of those men with Jesus. We recognize you." And the Bible says, then began he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man. I know not the man." Blank to blank to blank to blank. That's what he said. Notice two things. First of all, he cursed. He cursed. You remember Peter was a fisherman who had oftentimes used the vile and profane language of seamen as a part of his everyday vocabulary. Today we would say he cursed like a sailor. Back then they cursed like a fisherman. Okay, and that was his everyday vocabulary. Everyday vocabulary. But when he met Jesus Christ, Peter's language changed. By the way, that's the way it's supposed to be. As Christians, there are some things that it's not necessarily a curse word because we're not really taking God's name in vain. But there are some words, folks, that for Christians, it's just not appropriate. Just not appropriate. It's not the kind of vocabulary you would use if Jesus was with you, right? Well, have you forgotten He is with you? He lives inside of you. So there's some vocabulary, it's just not appropriate. It's just not, as Christians, there's just some words that we ought not to use. Ought not to say. Just not appropriate. Now, because of his pride, because of his boasting, because of his failure to watch and pray, because he has started following Jesus from afar off. When Peter was in this stressful situation, his old nature kicked in and his old vocabulary came out. That's what happened. Someone has well said, cursing is the sign of a weak mind that is trying to express itself forcefully. However, when men speak the truth, cursing is never needed. It's never needed. Not only did he curse, he swore. Do you understand what that means? When it says that Peter cursed and swore, cursing was the old language, that was his old vocabulary, but then he swore. In other words, he was actually taking an oath before God that he did not know Jesus Christ. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? No wonder we find then that these were number four. These were hurtful words. Luke chapter 22, verse 60 and verse 61, the Bible says, "And immediately while he yet spake." Here's Peter out there. He's cursing, he's swearing, he's denying he even knows who Jesus Christ is. "And while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter." There's no way we can fathom the depth of hurt. There's no way we can fathom the depth of disappointment that must have been contained in that look. Jesus didn't say a word to him. He just looked at him. But we can sense how deep it must have been when we notice the result of the look. Because the Bible says in Luke 22, verse 61, that Peter remembered. As soon as he saw the eyes of the Savior looking at him, he remembered what Jesus had said. "Oh, and I just heard that rooster crowing over there," and he remembered. Not only did he remember, the Bible says that Peter repented. In Luke chapter 22, verse 62, the Bible says Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. Well, we're out of time. Been out of time for a while, but we'll have to finish this next time. But I want you to look back over your notes, and I want you to notice that Peter's tragic denial of the Lord Jesus was not a sudden thing that just happened. Did you notice that as we came through? Peter's denying Jesus Christ, that wasn't something that just happened like that. No, it was actually the end of a process that began with bad choices. That's where it came from. It was the end of a process. Do you see yourself in this collapse of Peter? Do you see yourself here? May I remind you that if you're walking in the pathway that Peter walked, if you are following the steps that Peter took, you will most definitely end up at the same destination. You can't walk the same path and end up at a different place. You can't walk the same path and have a different result. If you're walking in the steps that Peter walked in pride, arguing with God, failing to watch and pray, failing to walk close with the Lord, if you're walking in that same pathway, you're going to end up in the same tragic end. So today, no matter which point you may find yourself at, I'm glad to tell you, you from that point can turn around. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And you can begin to walk with the Lord Jesus as you should. You don't have to go all the way to the tragic end to turn around. You can turn around right now and go back to walking faithfully with the Lord. And I trust that'll be a reality in each of our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word.